Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Good morning, everybody. It is great to see you here in the place of worship. How many of you feel God's presence? Good stuff, isn't it? I know those of you that are streaming the service online today, you can feel him right there too. And you know what? When you feel God's presence, you know you found him. That's really important to know that you're connected with God. And today, relationships are such a big part of the day. And so I want to wish you a happy Valentine's Day wherever you happen to be. And those of you that are here in the auditorium, the same for you. And I thought what I'd do today, as we get started, is introduce those of you who have not had a chance to get to know us personally yet. We've got a lot of new faces in this particular season. I'd like to introduce you to my high five. And so let me put a picture up to you for you and show you my Valentine's today. For those of you that don't know, my wife is on the far left. That is Pastor Cherie. And we have been married for over 30 years, and she is still my Valentine's. Happy Valentine's Day, pal. Love you very much. You make me phenomenal because of who you are. So thank you for all you are. And thanks for saying yes all those years ago. I love you. Holding, who she's holding is our youngest daughter. That's Victoria. We call her Tori. And so that is the daughter that we adopted in March of this past year. And so we're excited about what all God's doing through her life. Right next to her is Nova Joy. She's our youngest granddaughter. And she's being held by our oldest daughter, Lacey, who is Pastor Lacey, was leading you in worship this morning. And then the five-year-old in front of her mother is Emma Cherie. So that is my high five. And so my life is full of Valentines today. And so what about James? I don't know if he's out here yet, but there, for those of you that don't know, my son-in-law James is married to my daughter Lacey. I'm just trying to give him a little extra space there. But anyway, James, I don't know if you can hear me or not, but I want you to know I held her first. I just want you to keep that in your mind. I just, for the record, I know she's yours, but I held her first. So wherever you happen to be, no, James is a phenomenal man. And so, you know, relationships really do make a difference. And so we have such a great family. And I just wanted to have the opportunity to celebrate our family together with those of you who have not had a chance to meet yet personally. So but make yourself at home today. God's got something really, really good he's going to do in all of our lives today. We're starting a new series called Power and Presence. We're going to be talking about the power and the presence of God as we connect with who he is in his presence. How many of you know that when we're in his presence, fantastic things happen in our lives? God does something when we're in his presence that no other place can help us connect that way. In other words, no other place but the presence of God can help make those things that he does happen for us. So we're going to actually talk about this as it relates to the journey we started at the beginning of the year with God. So at the beginning of this year, he gave us a scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. We're going to jump into that. But before we do anything else, let's pray and ask his presence to join us in the journey through his scriptures this morning. Lord, thank you for being so faithful. You're so good to us. As we connect with you in your scripture together, we're asking that you would, in our minds and understanding, do what only you can do. We thank you in advance for who you are and what you'll do through this experience this morning as we meet you in your scriptures. We say yes already to what you want to do by way of changing how we think and then transforming who we are. We give you thanks for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right, so looking at how this ties into God's theme for LifeLink this year, Matthew 6, verse 31 says this, therefore, Jesus said, don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things, those who don't know me or follow me, the Gentiles, they seek those things as well. But he says, your heavenly Father already knows that you need all those things. And then verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That phrase, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added to you, is a key for what God wants us to experience with him as we journey with him through the year. Well, as we're going through the journey this morning, I want to ask you to be ready to capture some thoughts and some notes that God wants you to use this week as you grow in what he's calling you to accomplish and experience this week. God has a plan for you, and it's a good one this week. Part of what he wants to do in you this week is what we're going to be talking about today. So please don't just let the syllables go by. Listen for what he's saying to you and capture them. Write them down so you know what to apply this week. Because when we follow him, great things happen. Three sections of today's message. I want to talk to you about the presence of God, and then I want to talk to you about entering the presence of God and leaving the presence of God. So let's just start right at the top of that by what do we mean by the presence of God? So write these three things down. Number one, there are three aspects to God's presence, and the first one is his omnipresence, the omnipresence of God. You may hear this when you're studying about God and who he is and how he works in his creation. You might hear it in a theological context, but really, when you hear the word the omnipresence of God, it's literally talking about the fact that when he said, let there be light, he expanded into every part of creation with his presence as the universe unfolded. In other words, he's everywhere in time and space because he created time and space. He is everywhere. Okay? So I want us to look at one passage of scripture that really speaks to this, and that's Psalm chapter 139, verse 7. It says this, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? So this particular aspect of his presence is his omnipresence. He's everywhere in time and space. Everybody follow that? Okay. There's nowhere in time and space that his presence is not. But yet we see the presence of God being used primarily two other ways in Scripture. And so I want to just quickly cover the three aspects of God's presence so we understand which function or aspect we're talking about and how to relate to it, so we kind of clarify that, and then step into the power of what he wants us to understand when he talks about, I want to walk through life with you in my presence. So the omnipresence of God is the first one. The second one is the inner presence of God. The inner presence of God. That is, he lives inside those who are born again. We see this insight from John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. It says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, which is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Everyone say in you. Okay, so long story short, when mankind was created, he was created in relationship with God. God's spirit was not just all around him, as we talked about his omnipresence, that there was a relational connection with him on the inside. In other words, he was in relationship with God. So his spirit and God's spirit were connected. There was a connection with how he created mankind to live. And then when mankind sinned, that spirit connected. Was that my mom? Just kidding. I get so excited when I hear funny noises and things like that. So back to the message. So his omnipresence is everywhere, but when man and his interconnection is that relationship we have that we were created to experience God in. But when Adam and Eve sinned, that relationship was broken. And I want you to see something that relates to what we're talking about. But God says, when those of you who then accept who Christ is and what he did on the cross can be born again, that there's a spiritual connection that happens on the inside where God connects with our spirit and his spirit comes in us and he's in us. So not only is he around us in his omnipresence, when you give your life to Christ and accept what Jesus did for you and yield to his lordship, the Bible says you're born again and his spirit comes in you and is in you. Everyone say, in me. So he's around you with his omnipresence. He's in you with his inner presence. And that's what we're seeing there. But there's one more aspect, and this is what I really want to connect with you on, because this is something I think a lot of people don't see as easily. I think the first two are pretty easy. He's all around us, and when you're born again, he's in us. That's pretty easy. It's the other one that I think has the biggest leverage when it comes to experiencing life change. And so this is what I want to spend the time on, and that is the manifest presence of God. The manifest presence of God. And that's when he makes his presence known. When he makes his presence known. And he does that by doing things in you or through you or with you or for you that only he can do. So, three specific aspects of God's presence: his omnipresence, which is he's everywhere, his inner presence, which means when you're born again, his spirit is in you, he's in you, and then his manifest presence, which is this: he makes his presence known in your experience in a different way than his omnipresence or his inner presence. So I know this sounds a little bit confusing, but I think this is where you're going to find God's going to do something great in your understanding today. So for those of you that are here in the auditorium and those of you that are streaming online, this is a good time to actually start writing things down, because listen for the voice of God. He's going to show you some things that unlock some insight in your life, and I believe it's going to make a real, real difference. I want to go back to the creation account when we see in the very beginning where mankind was created by God and walked in fellowship with God. And I want you to see how the omnipresence, the inner presence, and the manifest presence are all together. And then what happened when sin separated mankind from God. And then I'm going to pick this story up in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And this is the account of what happened after Adam and Eve sinned against God. Here's what we see. Verse 8 says this, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of, in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden." Okay, now watch this. "They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife Eve hid themselves." Everyone say hid themselves. "From the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden." Let me ask you a question. Were they in the among the trees in the garden? Yes, they were among the trees in the garden. God created the trees in the garden. He's everywhere in time and space, which means his omnipresence was still all around them. Yet they heard the manifestation of his presence walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Do you see it? Okay. So in this one passage of scripture, we're actually watching several different things happen, and that is this. They were encapsulated in his presence, in his omnipresence, but they heard his manifest presence over there and hid from his manifest presence. Okay? A couple of things I want you to see in that, and that is the clarity between his manifest presence and his omnipresence. They're different. The second thing I want us to see and acknowledge, and that is this. Sin, write this down, always causes us to try to hide from the presence of God. When we sin against God, the natural response on the inside of us is to try to hide from his presence. And we see that right in the very beginning. Later on in Exodus, we actually pick up another expression of this, and I just want you to see a couple of different illustrations of this between the difference between his omnipresence and his manifest presence. Then we're going to talk about how we enter his presence and how we leave his presence, and then what God wants us to do about it. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 14 and 15, we're actually watching God deal with Moses and how he's going to actually work with the Israelites, and he says it this way in Exodus 33, verse 14 and 15. He says this, "The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.'" So who's God talking to? Moses. Everyone say Moses. What's he saying? My presence will go, what? With you. Okay, now, remember, God is everywhere all the time. There's no place he's never at. He's always there. And yet God said to Moses in a manifest presence expression, "My presence is going to go with you." You see the difference between the two? So Moses replies, and this is really interesting to me. Then verse 15 says, "Then Moses said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from there or from here.'" What's he saying? If you don't go with us with your manifest presence, then don't even send us. Why? Because I don't want to go towards what you're calling us to do without your presence going with us. What's he saying? I know it's impossible to do what you've called us to accomplish without your manifest presence going with us. Not his omnipresence, his manifest presence. When God makes his presence known in a way that is by demonstration, doing what only he can do as the manifest presence of God. Moses is saying, listen, what you've asked me to do, I can't do. We can't do unless you go with us. So thank you for telling us you're going to go with us. But if you don't go with us, don't even send us, because we can't do it. So I know I've circled the field a few times with that idea, but I want you to know this morning that applies to you. That applies to me. That applies to us. That applies to your household, to your family, to those who are all around you. There are things God has for us that he's called us into by way of experience, blessings, assignments, all the things that go with pursuing the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There are things he's called us into and things he's assigned for us to accomplish that we cannot experience or accomplish in our own strength and skills. We have to have the manifest presence of God with us, leading us, empowering us, giving us authority, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all those things moving with us in order to facilitate what he wants to do in his kingdom at work in our life. I know that's a really long sentence, but I don't know how to shorten it up. It just is what it is. I guess I can say it this way. What God wants you to do, you can't do by yourself. You got to have him. But not his omnipresence. You got to have his manifest presence. Got it? I see some of you guys writing. I love that. I think you're writing. You could be texting somebody or you could be on Facebook. I don't know. So for the benefit of the doubt, I'm going to say I think you're taking good notes. And for those, Pastor Tom and Amy, be watching the people online too. I want to make sure everybody's taking good notes today. So let's all capture this. The difference between the omnipresence of God, his everywhere presence, and his manifest presence. Let me give you an illustration. Because this idea about the manifest presence of God is not just God being with you, but when he makes his presence known by doing what only he can do. And that's the point I'm hoping to make with this. Let me use this illustration. Let's say today in this auditorium right here, there's a multi-billionaire present. You don't know who he or she is until he or she stands up and begins to walk around doing what only a multi-billionaire could do, and that's give everybody $1 million. Right? So that multi-billionaire is probably here. We're going to give him a minute here to manifest in just a minute. We're going to see if that'll happen. But we would know who he or she was once he identified himself or herself by saying, here's $1 million. And you get one, and you get one, and you get one. We would get the picture, you must be a multi-billionaire. Why? Because you can't give lots of millions out unless you got lots of it yourself. Y'all see that? So there's a difference between knowing somebody's here and knowing who it is as you watch him or her begin to do what only he or she could do. So that's what I want you to see. God's presence is everywhere all the time. There's no place he isn't. But that's different than when he manifests in your experience and begins to do what only he can do. You see it? That's what he's saying. I want you to seek me first, my kingdom and my righteousness. Why? Because I'm going to add to you things you cannot do yourself. So we want to know that God is with us. Not just everywhere in his omnipresence. That's a given. We want to figure out, Lord, how do we encounter and engage and live in your manifest presence so that you're truly with us. So that you're truly with us. So now that we, I think, have a good bead on his omnipresence, his inner presence, and his manifest presence, I want to look at the next two parts, and that is how do we enter his presence? How do we leave his presence? Because both those are really important. And I'm going to start with how do we leave his presence, then end with how we enter his presence. You guys with me so far on this? Okay. So the question is it possible to leave God's presence? Well, we know it's not possible to leave his omnipresence, but I believe if you'll stay with me for a few more minutes, you'll see it's possible to leave his manifest presence. Let me show you a couple of scriptures, and I believe this will help bring some clarity to this. Jonah, Old Testament book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 says this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, and said this, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3 says, but Jonah, everyone say, but Jonah. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, he found a ship going to Tarshish. So Tarshish is a difficult word to say. I don't know if you figured that out. You should say it three times real fast and just feel my pain just a little bit. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to from the presence of the Lord. Okay, now here's the scenario. Verse 1 starts the fact the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Is that his omnipresence or his manifest presence? His manifest presence. He made himself known by doing what only he could do. In other words, only God can speak for God. So he manifests his presence by speaking to Jonah, and he said, I want you to go do this. He, at that moment, Jonah was in his manifest presence. Not just his omnipresence, his manifest presence. Jonah considered what God was saying and thought, nah, don't want to do that. So then he fled. That's leaving quickly from the presence of God. Did he leave from his manifest or his omnipresence? He left from his manifest presence. All right? Here's what we know. Write this down. Willing disobedience causes us to leave God's manifest presence. Willing disobedience. Now listen, everybody. I'm not talking about making mistakes. We're all still breathing air. We're all still got blood pumping through our veins. We're all still working out the human experience with the spiritual work dynamic going on in this. We're still going to be making mistakes. There's the dynamics of sin is still at work in our life. We're all working that out. Yes or no? Please say yes, because if you say, if you think no, you're definitely needing today's message. Okay, so I'm not talking about the mistakes that we make as we just journey through life. I'm talking about when God says, I'm calling you to do this, I'm directing you to do that, I'm leading you to do this, I'm showing you to do that, my word said do this, and I'm making it real to you, da-da-da-da-da-da, and you go, I don't want to do that. That's different. That's willing disobedience. When we are willingly disobedient to God, we leave his manifest presence. Not his omnipresence. And if you're born again, not his inner presence. But the manifest presence of God, we're seeing a clear evidence that you can actually walk away from that. This is where I want to actually connect the ideas about how the kingdom of God works and how God is saying, I want you to see this. I'm inviting you to step into the experience of living in my kingdom, and the way you're going to step into the experience of living in my kingdom versus living a religious life, and they are two different things. You can live a very religious life, or you can live in the kingdom of God, or you can avoid all of it. I guess that's the third option. But living a good religious life, following all the Christian religious rules, doesn't mean you're actually living in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, you're actually following the invitation of his leadership, his lordship, into the process where you're saying, is that how you want me to live? Then that's how I'll live. In that area of my life, you made that real to me, then that's how I'll live. For example, years and years and years ago, the kingdom dynamic of finance came really alive to Pastor Sheree and me, and the issue of how we step into the flow of that kingdom working through the door of tithing became very real to us. So there's not a moment I would ever get a receive income, the increase, gifts, whatever. We tithe on all of it. Why? Because for us, that really became very clear to us. It's the dynamic of how the kingdom of God works in finances. So every paycheck, first thing, go straight to the app, tithe. Why? Because we live in the kingdom of God in that area. It became very real to us. There's never a time we go, oh, I think I'll take that tithe and spend it over here. Why? Because it's not ours. How do we know that? Leviticus 27, verse 30 says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain or from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. So I'm like, no way in the world we're going to take that tithe and go put it somewhere else. Why? It's already his. So I'm going to return it back to him. And in doing so, we follow him in that experience back into the flow of how his kingdom works and the dynamics of finance. I want God working in our finance. I don't know about you, but I do. All right, what about relationships? We talked about this 2 weeks ago. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. There are those that may be around your life that you may hear God say, I want you to put some distance between you and that person. Well, if you ignore that, if you willingly disobey that, then in part you're walking away from the manifest presence of God, what he's saying to do in that situation. Why? Because you're trusting your own opinion versus what he's telling you to do about that relationship. I could go, the issue of forgiveness and bitterness or jealousy or envy or greed, all those things. When God talks to you about that, the issue of forgiveness or not living in unforgiveness, but instead choose forgiveness, then the willingness to disobey God sets you up for the fact that you could walk out from under the grace of that manifest presence of God. Not the grace, wrong theological word. Walk out from under the manifest presence of God in that dynamic of what he's wanting to do in that relationship. Do y'all see what I'm talking about? Jesus was standing, when he stood before him and began to preach and teach, he basically said, listen, I came from heaven to do a bunch of great stuff. And it's right in front of you. He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's he saying? I want you to listen to the sound of what I'm going to teach you to do and stop doing what you're doing and follow what I'm saying, because if you do that, you'll follow me into the kingdom of God. Do y'all see it? So what I want to do today is connect the idea of the approach to the kingdom of God really through the door of his presence. Because if I hear God say to me, stop doing this or start doing that, his word is there, he's beginning to speak to me, I don't want to do what Jonah did and say, I don't want to do that. I think I'll flee. I think I'll walk away from that. Why? Because I'm learning what I really want is to follow him into whatever he has for me in that particular dynamic of life. Whether it's my marriage, relationship with my daughters, my son-in-law, who I didn't include in the Valentine's a moment ago because he's not a girl and I just didn't think of it that way. But Pastor James, are you back out here yet? I think he's over in the overflow room. So you have to go back to the front part of the message to get that. But anyway, whatever God's talking to me about, I want to follow that. Why? Because I have learned and I'm still learning, I want to stay in the manifest presence of God in that dynamic of my life. You see it? Okay. So far we're talking about God's presence. We've talked about today his omnipresence, his inner presence, and his manifest presence. His manifest presence is characterized by when he begins to manifest his presence in our life by doing what only he can do in that situation. So we've talked about his presence, how we leave his presence. How do we leave his presence? By willful disobedience. That's always a direct way out of his manifest presence. Now, I want to finish the message by talking about how do we get into his presence. I figured it'd be better to end with how to get into his presence than how to get out of it. How many of you agree with that? All right. So when it comes to this, and today is almost like a practical lab when it comes to the presence and the power of God. I wanted to connect with you today and talk you through this in a way that brings this big idea right up in front of who you are so we can look at what does that really mean and how do we work with what God's showing us in his scripture. So it's really practical, and we've talked about the three aspects of his presence, how to get out of his presence through disobedience. Now I want to talk about how to get into his presence. And there are many different ways to get into the presence of God, but one of them that is a prime, it's like a big front door. It's like one you can hardly miss with this one, and that is worship. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Number three, worship is a primary way we enter God's presence. Worship is a primary way we enter God's presence. Let me give you a couple of scriptures to go with this. Psalm 95 verses 1 and 2 says this, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us," here's that phrase, what? Is it on the screen? Let us. Come before his presence. Okay, let's start right at the top left. Let us what? Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us come before what? His presence. How do we do that? Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the Lord, to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout to him joyfully with psalms. Psalm 100 verses 1 through 2 says this, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." Both of those scriptures have two things in common. Well, there's lots of things in common, but the two things I'll point out are this. One is, both of those passages talk about how we get into the presence of God, and they identify singing. as an expression of worship that we actually enter into His presence through. I'm going to just talk candidly with you for a few minutes. Far too few understand the power of singing praise and worship. I want to teach you something this morning. And I want to teach everyone, not just those who have the gift of singing. Because a lot of times people think, oh, I don't sing. I can't sing. Well, listen, the older I get, the harder it is for me to actually sing. So I'm kind of beginning to feel your pain a little bit. But the reality is, this has nothing to do with your musicianship. This is an expression of obedience to the Lord. You making melody to Him is something that He hears and perceives. And that's the ear that you're really aiming at, not the person sitting next to you. Does that make sense? Okay. You may be thinking, oh, Pastor Dave, come on. Can't I just kind of stand here and raise my hand a little bit? How come I got to sing? I don't sound cool. My mouth doesn't look right when I sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And all I can say to you is this. Many times, the things God chooses for us to step through in order to experience who He is feel foolish to us. Not all guys are this way, but some guys really struggle with the idea of singing, especially in front of others. All I can tell you is that there is a historical account, there are many, actually. I'm not even going to go into it, but the bottom line is, over and over and over, God actually showed us in His Word, in His Bible, in the historical account of His Scripture, where He would say, do you want a miracle? Then this is what you do. And everybody who went through that experience had to figure this out. How does that action translate to a supernatural miracle that I need? And here's what we know 100% of the time. Jesus never explained it. He just simply said, do you want it? Here's what you do. If they did it, they got it. If they didn't, they didn't. It didn't matter if they thought it was relatable or not. And He couldn't care less how cool it looks or sounds. Why? He's after something different. He's after the relationship of, will you follow me in what I'm saying? Why? Because you can't get where I want to take you if you won't follow me in what I'm saying. So today I want to make a case for the power of worship and praise through singing. And here's what I know for a fact. Many of you only sing on Sundays. And there's an awful lot of you that walk in here late because you don't want to sing to begin with. And some of you come in here and just fold your arms and don't sing at all. I'm not climbing your frame. I'm just pointing out what God says, that you could be missing out on something. I heard a pastor say one time when he was approached by a man whose marriage was in trouble. He said, Pastor, I've got to come in for some counseling. He said, here's what I want you to do. For 1 month, I want you to sing every song really loud on Sunday mornings. Then you come in and we'll talk about it. You know what he was really saying? Is what you really need is the power of God manifesting in your life. You don't need what I've got to say. You really need God at work in your life. And I know the only way you can get there is getting to His presence. And the fastest way into His presence is by singing praise and worship, coming to the Lord with thanksgiving in your heart, giving Him praise. It is the reason we start every worship journey by singing. Some of you are like, why do we gotta sing? And why do we gotta sing for 30 minutes? And why do we gotta do that with songs that we've heard 100 times? Here's what I'm saying. Who gives a rip? What you're looking for is the presence of God, right? You can sing in Mandarin Chinese for all I care. It won't make any difference. But your spirit connecting with God in obedience opens the door into His presence. And here's what I know. You are desperate for a breakthrough encounter with God's presence. Your mind goes, he's everywhere and he already knows, so why bother? Which is one of the reasons why I didn't want to spend too much time with just the omnipresence of God. We all know that. But the omnipresence of God is not where his power is at. The power of his kingdom being revealed and giving you breakthrough deals with his manifest presence. And when we get into his presence, we're encapsulated by everything he is. We are transformed and we are changed in his presence. We begin to reflect his glory in his presence. There are things that happens in us, to us, and through us in his presence that no other place can facilitate. So I want to admonish you this morning, wherever you are in your singing to God, take it up a level. So if you get here 20 minutes after the service starts because you don't want to sing, next Sunday be here 5 minutes early and sit on the front row and sing. Trust me, it will unlock something powerful in your life. If you sing through the service, or if you stand through the service but don't really sing next Sunday or in just a few minutes when we start singing, I want to encourage you to change your posture. Just open your arms to the Lord and sing. You can even do it with your eyes open and read the words as long as you're singing to him. Why? Because you'll be in his presence. The second thing I want to do is challenge you with this. So when we gather on Sunday mornings, get here on time, get your kids checked in, get in your place, get ready. When the first note starts, take a deep breath and just holler in here. We'll keep turning it up until nobody can hear you. It's pretty loud anyway. Why? It's not because we want to hear you. It's because of what it does for you when you actually open your mouth and simply with childlike faith, just go for it. It's awesome. The second thing I want to challenge you to do is this. Do that in your daily devotions too. Start your time with God in singing. You're like, oh, now you're killing me, Pastor Dave. No. I'm opening the door for you. Years and years ago, Sean Ogles and I served at a big conference hotel in downtown Dallas. We were both in the guest services department, and all of us started guest services by holding doors for people. That's what I want to do for you this morning. I want to open the door for you and say, right this way. You're just like, Pastor Dave, I don't even know how to sing. I'm not going to ask you if you're having daily devotions. I'm just assuming you are. If you're not, stop by the info center on the way out and grab the soap guide with the devotional, and let's get started together. Got it? But start that time with singing. You're like, all I have is country music on my playlist. No judgment. Some of that stuff is pretty weird. I'm just going to say it. Talk about triangles and weird stuff relationally. There's some good stuff in there too, I think. Country's not my jam. But if praise and worship's not the first thing on your playlist, let me show you where it's at. In fact, if you will text the word worship, they're going to put this on the screen. Text worship to that number. If you need to take a picture of that number so you can text it a little bit later, it takes you straight to one of the LifeLink playlists on Spotify. And if you don't know where else to start to get to worship and praise, that's kind of in the season we are at LifeLink, then start there. And if you need other help, just contact us. We'll give you everything we know about to help you connect with this idea. Why? Because we simply can't just grind through another year doing Christian stuff, you guys. We want the power and presence of God at work in our everyday life. We want the power and presence of God in our relationships, in our direction, in our purpose, in our mission, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our businesses, in our finances, in our sense of direction in life. We want the presence and power of God everywhere. And it doesn't get there just by doing Christian stuff. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And singing is the fastest way to get there. So I thought, how could we end this sermon? It dawned on me. We ought to sing. So I've asked the worship team to bring one of our worship songs from this morning and bring it back in here. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. And the same for you, not just in here, but those of you streaming the service online right now, wherever you happen to be. If there's any way to further minimize the distractions wherever you happen to be, if you're on your couch or maybe you're in your bed, get out. Listen, don't do Sunday in bed. first of all. I know what that feels like. Get up, and when we're worshiping together, try to best you can to stand, if you can stand in your living room, whatever it is. Let's do our very best to engage that posture of worship. And so if you're in your bed, you don't have to get out of your bed for real. I don't know if that's a word of knowledge for somebody. I'm just saying, maybe you should get out of your bed. I don't know. Yeah, just try it this time. The healing you need may actually come from the song you're about to sing. What do you got to lose? All right, get up off the couch. Let's everybody stand in here. And I want to encourage you to open your heart, open your hands. Pastor Lacey, would you come and just lead us in the flow of worship for a little bit? Let's let God do something great in here.
Take this offering that I bring. Humbly I fall on my knees to proclaim your everything. My life's nothing without you. Take my hand and lead me through. You are my sustaining life.
All I am, worshiping you, and I.
Jesus, we give you praise.
Gonna worship you.
We give you glory.
Your presence, Lord.
We give you honor, God.
Well, right now, the presence of God is in here in a powerful way. He's here to do miracles. God's presence is in this room right now in a powerful way. I don't know what you need from God right now, but I do want to encourage you. We're not done until we're done, so please don't let your mind hurry off. There's some of you need a real miracle right now, and His presence is in this room in a powerful way to do that. So whatever you know that miracle is that you need from God, I'm just going to ask that you open your hearts and hands to the Lord right now. Lord, you have our undivided attention. We want your manifest presence at work in our lives. More than anything else we think we want. We want to live life in relationship with you. Father, there are people in this room that need physical healings. I'm asking right now that you manifest physical healings. There are people in this room right here, in this room right now, and those that are watching online, the same for those of you watching online, that need miracles of healing right now, miracles wherever you happen to be. I have an impression in my spirit that there are some people in here, and both in the room and online, and your heart is a heart of stone when it comes to certain people in your life. But you know God is saying, there's something I'm going to do to break that through. Right now, God's presence is here to do a miracle and give you hope and courage to allow that the healing of that situation to begin. I don't know who this is for, but I hear the phrase in my heart and in my spirit this morning from God. It's not impossible. It just looks impossible. I know you've looked at that thing too long as if it will never change, that he or she will never change, the circumstance will never change. It's impossible. I've tried, we've tried, it's just been too long. God says nothing is impossible. Hear this presence for just a few more moments. I'm just going to say it. There are some people in here who finance has been a chronic struggle for years and years. God says, today I'm challenging you to step into my kingdom. I'm the source that you need. My way is my way. I'll give you what you need if you'll follow what I say. So I just want to encourage you to release that aspect of obedience to the Lord. If we just wait on the presence of the Lord for a few more moments. Is defeated, yes. In my presence. Yes. Depression cannot stand in my presence. There are some people in this room and some people online that are streaming right now. God's saying to you, I'm drawing a line across depression. I'm canceling depression on your life. God says, I'm bigger than the physiology of depression. Psychology of depression. I'm bigger than the circumstance of depression. I'm bigger than all of them. Step into my presence. Depression cannot stay in my presence. Father, we just commit this season to you, God. We are yours. We're your people. We'll go your way. We thank you for where you're taking us, where you're leading us, and how you're providing the example through your scripture and by your voice and our spirit. We'll follow that, God. Sunday by Sunday, weekday by weekday, Saturday by Saturday, God, we'll meet you at that place of devotion. We'll meet you at that place of worship. We'll start with singing. Follow your presence through our name. Lord, we want to experience all you have for us. In Jesus' name. Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Let me just talk to those of you who are in this room and watching online. And you know that the inner peace, the inner presence of God is not in this place in your life because you've not actually said yes to Jesus Christ. Christianity's been a religion to you, and I'm sorry that that's the context you've seen it in. But God's presence is drawing on you today. He's just saying, trust me with this. Open your heart, step away from sin, and living your life your own way. Say yes to the sacrifice I made for you on Calvary's cross. Jesus said, I made that for you. My presence through the Holy Spirit is going to touch your life and give you courage to say yes. But I want you to say it and follow through. If that's you today, you're either in this building or you're watching online. I ask that you would just be willing to say a prayer of repentance out loud. It's phrases we find in Scripture, but all together in the prayer of repentance, and God's going to change your life. If that's you today and you know that you're ready, then I'm going to ask you to join me and everybody else and pray this prayer out loud. Heavenly Father, come on everybody, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth. Die on Calvary's cross to pay for my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed, every sin that separates me from you. I want to walk with you. I want to walk close to you. I want you to be my Lord and be my Savior. So I'm turning my life over to you today. I'm choosing to follow you from this day forward. As my only God, my only Savior. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, you guys. Let's celebrate this.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.